In C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Lucy, while playing a game of hide-and-seek with her siblings, opens a wardrobe seeking a hiding place. As she pushes backwards through the coats, she notices that the coats give way to a snowy wood. She slowly turns around to discover a whole new world. With childlike awe, she steps in, making a journey that would change her life. Today in our reading from Hebrews, we hear that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is one of the most misunderstood terms in modern times. Many people mistakenly think faith means blind acceptance of irrational ideas. Belief in God is akin to belief in the Easter Bunny, but they are gravely mistaken. Faith is not opposed to reason, but rather it transcends it. In C.S. Lewis's allegorical tale, the wardrobe represents a gateway to Narnia, a world of adventure in which each of the four children has a specific mission. Each of them is called to liberate Narnia in their own way, but it is an identity that they must grow into. The journey is wrought with temptations and dangers. None of them could have imagined the adventure that awaited them when they first stepped into the wardrobe, into this whole new world. But it is only by stepping in, by being willing to question their assumptions, it is only in not being afraid to seek the truth no matter where it would lead, and being willing to follow and fight with Aslan, that they would find their true mission and their true selves as kings and queens of Narnia. This tale provides a beautiful allegory for what faith really is. It reminds us that this world is more than the physical realities that can be measured and deduced into scientific theories. Our minds and our senses, while having vast potential, are not the end of reality. Rather, our mind and our senses are a gateway to go beyond ourselves and to step into a deeper reality, a reality that goes beyond this life and into eternal life. Faith is the wardrobe by which we do not lose or escape ourselves, but discover a deeper mission and a deeper calling. The writer of Hebrews puts Abraham as the father par excellence of faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The story of faith did not stop with Abraham. Isaac and Jacob were also called. Their wives, Rebekah and Rachel, were called, as was Joseph, as he was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery in Egypt, and as was Moses when he was called to lead them out of Egypt, and Joshua to conquer the promised land. Ruth the Moabitess was called to leave her country, and in doing so, to become the great-grandmother of David, from whom the Messiah was to come. And in the person of Jesus Christ, the long-hoped-for Messiah, which was hoped for, became flesh. By the Holy Spirit, the apostles did not remain in the upper room, but by faith went out to the whole world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Faith did not end with the death of the apostles. It did not end with the last verse of the last chapter of the New Testament, but continues in the lives of the saints through the ages. Faith is what led Edmund Campion, a young Anglican deacon, a rising star in the Anglican Church and one of Queen Elizabeth's favorites, to leave England and go to Ireland to seek to be received into the Catholic Church, into the faith of his ancestors. Faith is what led him to the Jesuits, to the priesthood, and back to his homeland, where a sure martyrdom awaited him. Faith is what led St. John Henry Newman, a doctor of the church, a leading intellectual and academic in Oxford, to leave the comfortable, wonderful life he had to seek the truth, to seek the faith of his ancestors, and like Edmund Campion, to be received into the Catholic Church. In the last few decades, the seed of faith planted by the English martyrs and pioneering converts has led to an ever-increasing number of Anglicans and other Christians to seek the origins of their faith, to go on a journey where they were not sure where it would end, but were willing to follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, wherever he would lead them. Faith is what led to the founding of the Ordinariate, and faith is what led many of you to step foot inside this little church. Faith transcends reason. It is living. It is handed down to you and to me by our fathers and mothers in the faith, by the patriarchs and the saints, and the living tradition of the church. Faith is magnanimous. It is not small-minded, but lofty and courageous. It is not selfish, but nobility. It is generous of mind, as we recalled last week. It does not seek to hoard, for it knows that at any mass time, any moment, the Master could call. Faith is being rich towards God. Our Lord tells us that everyone to whom much is given, of him will much be required. He tells us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Provide yourselves with purses that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Faith is the treasure that will never fade away. Faith makes us ready for the Master's coming. Faith makes us realize where we are being small-minded, where we are looking in on ourselves, where we are delaying, making excuses that the Master is delayed. But faith will bring us to repentance and restore us to our calling. Faith will make us realize who we really are, and that sin is a sorry substitute. Faith will make us ready, so the Master will find us awake, for he is coming. And he is here.